The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing through us. And we pray now that as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts, that you would meet us here in this place and draw us closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Check out this video.
Like an artist hard at work, paying close attention to every detail, overseeing every slight and subtle alteration with precision and purpose, refining each feature, repairing every damaged piece, restoring his creations full potential. The world is his workshop, and you are the focus of his passion and expertise. A work in progress made to his exact specifications. Every touch, a sign of his meticulous care. Every trait, a stroke of genius. Every gift, evidence that we are a part of a grand design. The tools of his trade are pain, suffering, patience, and loss. They are how he chisels us into his image. He uses them gently, but effectively. Your maker knows what makes you tick, because he made you that way. He knows that your true beauty comes from what is unseen, the hidden parts, the gears that tick and turn. He pays special attention to these parts of you because they make you unique. You are not a mass-produced widget. You are a one-of-a-kind, original, first-edition work of art. Priceless and precious. Handmade by a skilled craftsman. A master. And you, we are his masterpiece.
We started this series called Kazon last week. And Kazon is the Hebrew word for vision. The scriptures say, without vision, the people will perish. God has a vision, has a purpose, has a passion for your life, and our hope is that through this series you will discover that. Now, if Sunday mornings is the only thing you come to, you're going to miss the depth of what we're trying to help you through in these next several weeks. We are doing a series with all our community groups. Actually, right now, I stepped in. There's a bunch of people in the library going through a class that's going to be happening at 11 o'clock each of the weeks we go through this series. So if you're sitting here now and you want to go to that class, come at 9:30. There's plenty of room in the first service. Come to 9:30 and then stay for the 11 o'clock class. If that doesn't work and you're part of a community group, you will get this series through your community group. We also have a group on Sunday nights that's doing it. A women's group on Friday mornings that's doing it. We're doing it everywhere because we believe in it, because we believe in you. We believe that God has created each and every one of us for a special purpose. And as we, as followers of Christ, discover God's passion, God's purpose and direction for our life, nothing is impossible. We can do all things through Christ as he gives us the strength. And when we're in the center of his will, amazing things can happen. And so we are praying and begging and pleading with you to get involved, to take this as deep as we can get it to go. We're going to be looking at our teachings over the Sundays, And I'm going to be kind of giving you some principles and overviews of why this is important, but really where the rubber meets the road, where you take what God is saying and apply it to your life and figure out how does my life fit in with what God's saying. That'll happen in these classes that we're talking about. So get plugged into one. And if you've missed a week, it's all right. We can catch you up. All this material we can give you in a book. We can give you online. It's a great resource, and we want you not to miss any of it. And it doesn't have to go in order. If you start today or next week, we can catch you up on the weeks before. But we really want you to get everything that you can get out of this. We're looking at how God made us, how he shaped us. But last week, we looked at the word shape. We talked about how God has shaped each and every one of us. Before you even lived a single day of life on this earth, God had a plan for you. And he formed you and he shaped you. We dived deep into that study last week. And the shape looks like this. S stands for spiritual gifts. If you're a child of God, you've been given gifts by God for you to use, not just on yourself, but to benefit the body of Christ, to benefit the world that he has placed you. You have a spiritual gift. H is your heart. It's also known as your passions, what your heart beats for, what you're passionate about, what you love from the bottom of your heart. Whatever it is that you are living and breathing for, God wants that to be for him. And if you're passionate about something, it's very likely it's because he's built you and wired you to be passionate about that. He is an intelligent creator with an intentional design in your life, and you are a unique masterpiece. God built you with a certain heart's passion. A is your abilities, your natural talents, things you're good at. Some of you are good singers. Some of you are good teachers. Some of you are good artists. Some of you are good business people. God gave you natural abilities, and we want you to help discover what God wants you doing with those. P is your personality. Some of you are people. How many of you like being around people? How many of you would like a closet and a nice book? Okay, we're all wired differently. Not one is not good and one is not bad. They're different, and God intended for you to be wired your way for a reason, to use you to accomplish a purpose he established for you. And today we're going to be looking at what the E stands for, experiences. We're not going in any particular order. We're kind of jumping around, but today we're going to be looking at our life's experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God uses all of them. All of our experiences God uses. And we're going to look into the scriptures of where we get that from today. All right, so if you turn in your Bibles or look at your notes, we have notes provided there for you. The key verse for today is Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. It's one of the most famous verses. You can find this verse on calendars and posters and on coffee mugs. But it's oftentimes one of the most misused and abused verses. Let's see what it says. First of all, it says, "And we know," read it with me, "and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All right, so let me start with what this verse does not say. This verse does not say that everything in life is going to happen the way you want it. It doesn't say that at all. This verse doesn't say that all things in earth have a happy ending. It doesn't say that. What it does say, I want you to take note of, because it's important, it's true, and it's real. And instead of just pursuing things that will make you happy, if we walk in the center of God's will, we will discover what true joy is, the meaning of true happiness. And it is centered in this verse. We start with the first couple words, "and we know." We know. It doesn't say we hope. It doesn't say we think. It doesn't say we pray for. It doesn't say we guess. It says we know. We know for a matter of fact, for certain, that what is about to be said is true. You can count on it. We know. What do we know? We know that in all things. Now let's break that down. If you were to do a word study on the word all, and you go back to the original writing in Greek, when you look at the word all, what does all mean? What do you think all means? It means all. All means all. That's all means. What does that mean? Does it mean that God works all things, even your stupid mistakes? Yes, even my stupid mistakes. Does God work even our sin into his perfect plan? Yes. Does God work illness and sickness and disease and cancer into his perfect plan? Yes. Does God work divorce, brokenness, abuse? Yes. God works all things together. For what? For the good. For who? Is this a promise for all people, all places, all times? Yes and no. What does it say? It says God works all for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, God tells us that he loved the world. He sent his son to die for the world. If you believe in him, you become a child of God. God's love is freely poured out on all who would receive it. But if you, a child of God, created by God, decide to walk away from God and live life your own way, your bad things aren't necessarily going to work out for good. When we, broken people, decide to put God first and follow him, he will take those broken pieces and he'll put them together to make something beautiful. But if we continue to go through life saying, you know what, I don't care about you, God, I don't care about your will, I don't care about your way, and you know what, I don't even know if you are there anymore, it isn't necessarily going to work out for the good for you. In fact, it may end up pretty bad. And it doesn't say that your life is going to be all happy, cheerful. There are good people out there who believe in God, who are following him, who are struggling through this life. But God will even use those struggles for good. And that's what we're diving into today. We know that in all things, everything, bankruptcy, brokenness, abuse, God can work it all together. God is a masterful creator and he's working a perfect plan out of your life. And he wants us to learn to follow him. You're not an accident. The things that happen in your life are not by fate. There is no fate in this life. There's no luck. This life is not built on karma. There is intentional design behind us and what is happening to us and around us. And God wants it all to work together for good. We know all things work together, even the bad. And this is what God is so awesome. The reason I love God so much is because he loves us and he steps into our mess and he shows us a message. In the middle of our mistakes, he's like there telling us and leading us through it. In the midst of our crisis, he's there to show us Christ. In the midst of our bad things, God is all about creating good out of evil. Gotcha on that one. Making sure you're not sleeping. God is all about stepping into crucifixions and bringing resurrections. And when there is struggle and heartache and shame, God wants to step into the middle of that and bring something beautiful. He's just like a great baker. How many of you like baking? How many of you like making cookies? Yeah? I grew up where my mom was constantly cooking, constantly baking. And I was impatient. I would sneak into the kitchen at times and stick my finger in the batter. And sometimes you just did it at the wrong time. You know what I mean? You like get a big glob of like baking powder or baking soda. Disgusting. You get the wrong kind of mixture. You hit the raw eggs right before they've really been mixed. Anybody ever chugged a raw egg? Be like Rocky. I snuck into the fridge and did it like the age of 12. It didn't work out. But anyway, A baker is working to make something great. You take all these bad tasting ingredients and somehow a baker can put them all together and in the end, there is something amazing at the end with just the right mixture. And God is just that way. He'll take the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, and the good and wrap it all together in the end, make something amazing. And that's what God is at the business of in our lives. He wants to take the mess of our lives and turn us all into Mrs. Fields. Couple of you got that. So, God wants to step into our lives. He wants to step into our mess. He wants to step into our experience. Where is God when all the evil is going on? Where is God when the bad? He is right there with it and he is grieved. He is hurting right with you. And in the midst of it, none of us know why. But in the end, God will use even those hard trials and struggles and use him for good. And that is why we are called to worship him. And my hope is that today your heart would be open to look back And for some of you, you've had some past experiences that you've shut out, you've shut down. You don't want to remember them. And I understand, because of pain, a lot of times we don't want to remember. We want to forget. We don't want to think about the regrets. We don't want to think about the pain. And in some ways, in our minds, we even rewrite the past because it's easier to deal with a different version of the past than to face reality. But my hope is that today that you would learn, instead of forgetting and running away from our past and our experiences, we will learn to embrace them. We will learn that God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes an experience. And there are three things today I want you to see to help us see how God can use a mess and make it into something majestic. Number one, we need to learn to embrace our experiences. The good, the bad, hurtful, shameful, right, wrong, happy, sad, all of them. We have to stop running from those things and turn to God and say, okay, God, what was going on? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul is talking to some new Christians. Most of them are Jewish. They have a Jewish background where they felt like in order to follow God, it was built on a system of laws. There were 613 laws in the Old Testament, and these Jews felt like if I obeyed enough of them, somehow I'd earn God's favor, and God would be pleased with me, and God would bless me, and I'd have a great life. But they learned the hard way over and over and over and over again that it didn't matter how many times you tried to obey God's law, we'd fail. We are sinful, fallen, broken people. The scriptures tell us that none seek after God. All of us go after our own ways. And God steps into the midst of us as people who are turning away from Him, and He calls us and pulls us to Himself. And here, Paul had spoke to these Galatians, these new believers, and he says to them, did you forget everything that you've learned? Did you forget your past? You need to remember what's happened. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, have you suffered so much for nothing? Do you not remember you trying to beat yourself up over and over again, trying to somehow win God's approval by obeying the law? And you kept finding yourself falling short? Have you forgotten that? Is it all in vain? Is it all for nothing? And Paul's encouragement to them is to not forget the past. Too many times, those who ignore the past and the failures of history are doomed to what? Repeat them. God wants us to remember our past. But as I've already said, many times it's just too painful. We'd rather ignore, deny, discount all our past and not think about it at all. And just think, oh, I'll just keep my eyes on God now. I'll go into the future. But God was at work even when you didn't see them, didn't see Him. God was working in the midst of all of it. From before you were born, God has been at work in your life, even before you knew Him. And some of us, we need somebody else to help us. That's why this Kazon experience that we're doing in these classes in our community groups is so important, because we want you to take the time to really look back at your past and to take the time to take those great things, those not so good things, and look at them and evaluate them and say, God, what were you doing in the midst of them? And I know for some of you that will be painful. And we're here to help you. That's why my hope is that you'd get involved in a church community like this, someone that you could trust in, maybe a friend, a spouse that you could pray with, that would help you look at those past experiences and help you look to see God in the middle of them. Because He was there the whole time. And for some of you, you may need help of somebody special, somebody with training, a counselor. As a church, we've started Hope Hill Counseling Ministries just so that we could help you. Some of you have some deep hurts, some deep wounds that aren't easily brushed over. And we're aware of that. And we want to be used by God to help you discover the truth of what was going on in the midst of those experiences. I want you to write this phrase down in your notes. You ready? Write this down. God can use every experience in my life for good. I'll say it one more time. God can use every experience in my life for good. There's not a single one that he can't use. Now, there are some things that would have been better if they hadn't happened, especially if there were things that weren't under our power that we did. But even our mistakes, God can use going forward. That's what he's about. Every experience, the relational, the educational, the spiritual, the vocational, the painful, all of them, God can use them. The ones you like and the ones you don't. And maybe as you go through life and you look back, you didn't have the kind of home that you wish you'd have. Maybe your parents weren't exactly the kind of parents you wish you had. But God can even use that home life and experience that you grew up in. Maybe you hated high school years. You weren't the prom queen or the team captain. Things didn't quite go the way you hoped they did in high school, but God can use even that. Maybe your home, your marriage is not at all what you hoped for. God can use it. Maybe your career has you spinning in circles. God can even step in now and give you direct sense of direction and purpose, no matter what it is that's going on. Let's not run from our past. Let's instead turn to God, embrace him, and let us see how he can use them for good. How do we do this? I want you to remember. I want you to remember these things. In our Kazon experience, we're going to be taking time to write down. Some groups have already started. I've seen a couple poster boards that some people made. This poster board is my life, and they have all these sticky notes, you know, like 30 different sticky notes of some great things and some not so great things. And through this experience, you start to categorize them together into seasons of life. And then we start to see how chapters can be divided as you look at the different experiences in your life and how God has been writing a story on your hearts and on your souls from the beginning till now. And the story has a beautiful ending if we put God in the center of it. And my hope is that you will embrace this experience, that you will remember what Christ has been doing in your life as your experiences have been unfolding. He has been at work, even when you think he's been far. He's been there. In Deuteronomy 11:12, Moses was encouraging the Israelites to do just this. He said to them in Deuteronomy 11, verse 2, he said, "Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm." Basically, he's telling them, for 40 years, God rescued you from Egypt. You were on your way to the promised land. What unfortunately should have only took 4 weeks took 40 years. The Israelites would get to the promised land and they would do something stupid and they said, "Let's make that path, let's do that loop again." And 7 different times the Israelites circled around in the wilderness for 40 years making mistakes instead of learning from their experiences, repeating the failures of the past instead of embracing them and seeing what God was doing in the midst of them. And God here, through Moses, is telling the people, remember them. Why? So you know what God was doing. So you know how he rescued you. So you remember how he stepped into your mess. And better yet, your children need to be taught these things. Take the things that have happened to you and use them to step in to help somebody else, to teach somebody else. We'll dive into that in just a little bit more. As we remember, we need to remember the lessons that we've learned. Jesus himself said this in John chapter 13, verse 7. It says this. Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And the truth is that many times when things are a mess, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand why, where God is, why it's happening. But as we take time to allow us to look back and see our past experiences through the God lens, through Jesus' eyes, we will begin to see what he was doing in our life, even in the midst of those moments. Hindsight is what? 20/20. When we look back, we can see the lessons to be learned. There are a lot of people that go through life living the same year over and over again. There are 50-year-olds who have been living the same year for 50 years. Instead of learning and embracing the mistakes, they keep repeating them. And instead, the encouragement here is to look back and to learn the lessons that were to be learned so that we grow wiser as we get older. We need to embrace. We need to remember. Joseph. It's a story in Genesis where this young boy was captured. For the first 40 years of his life, things were a mess. He was beat up by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. While a slave in a household in Egypt, he got accused of raping a woman that he ran away from. He never was even involved. And then he was thrown into prison again down there. For 40 years, it just kept going from bad to worse to worse to worse. Later in life, though, if you know the story, Joseph has the ability from God to interpret a Pharaoh's dream. He's put in second in command of all of Egypt. He's put in a place where he saves Egypt from starving, from famine, also saving the neighboring nations, the nation of Israel. And guess who comes back into the story? The brothers who beat Joseph up and sold him into slavery, they come back into the story. They're standing behind their brother now, 40 years later, who's now second in charge of all of Egypt, and they're begging him, "We need food. Please let our family come down and take shelter here in Egypt. Feed us during this famine," not knowing it's their brother they're bowing before. And after getting all emotional, Joseph realizes who this is. He even has to step out of the room and just wail like a baby, crying. But he steps back and he says these words in Genesis 50:20. He says this, "What you intended for harm, God intended for good." All that 40 years of experience and prep was putting Joseph in this time and place to be able to care for these nations, to care for even his family. It all worked together for good. This is what God is about. He's about stepping in the midst of our mess and making something beautiful. We need to not run from our past, but look back and see what God is teaching us from our past. Embrace our past, our experiences, and do what? Extract the lessons. Number two, we pull out these lessons from our life. It's been said that an unexamined life is not worth living. We need to look back at our life and say, "God, what have you been doing? What's been going on? How can I learn from this and improve and become more like you in the future?" And as you look back, there are a couple things I want to encourage you to look at. First of all, you look for the lessons to be learned. How do we do that? We look for the benefits. You look back at seasons of your life when things were great. And you ask the question, you know, what was so great about it? Maybe there was a certain job you were part of and everything was going great. Okay, great. What was so great about that time? Write it down. And you start to see why, what it was that God was doing in the midst of those great memories, in the midst of that great season of life. What were the things that were going on that were adding up that you can learn from? The benefits of things that were going on. The second thing you look for is you look for patterns. And you know what often happens with patterns? Patterns often come with failures. Every time I failed, when I look back, I almost always see the same kind of things repeated. I got to a place where I was exhausted. I got to a place where I was losing my temper, and this happened. Almost every time I have a mistake in my life that I look back at my timeline and see the failures, I see patterns. And you look at patterns, and you can then be able to say, okay, if I know this happens after this, if I do this, then you can step in and ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to break those patterns. So that they don't just continue. We look for those patterns and we learn from them. This is what the Israelites' problem was. They kept making the same mistakes over and over again. God would step in. He would rescue them. He would save them. They'd begin living a life feeling like, oh, great, God stepped in. He saved us. Then they go on doing life their own way. And then they fall into a mess and say, oh, crap, God, we need you again. And God would step in and put everything back together and fix them and get them on the right path again. And then they would drift away from God and they kept making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Instead of learning from those patterns, learning those lessons, they kept repeating the past. And those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat the past. We need to look back at the past and allow God to bring us into maturity. Maturity happens when we extract meaning from the everyday experiences of life. When you look at what's going on and you say, okay, what can I pull out of that? That is how we begin to mature. We're able to look at the normal everyday experiences and say, okay, God, I see what you were doing there. and we learn from it, and we adjust to get on his page. Socrates says, the unexamined life is not worth living. So we need to treat every experience as an education. God, what can I learn from this? And there's a couple great things about the School of Experience. How many of you are enrolled in the School of Experience? All of us. A couple great things about the School of Experience is if you fail a test, you get to take it again. And again. And again. And again. They keep coming, don't they? Just when you think you've passed, there's another one. And the second thing is you go through life and you're learning all this stuff and you feel like you're finally ready to graduate, and then they add another course. Until the day we die, we're going to be in the School of Experience. So we need to embrace it. There are going to be things coming at us left and right. I don't want to say this, but the truth is your worst experience may yet still be ahead of you. My hope and prayer is that it isn't the case, but you know what is even truer? Is that God is already there. God is already in the middle of it. And he is waiting to carry you through it and to teach you whatever it is to be taught through it and to use it for your good and for the good of the kingdom and for the good of others. God is there waiting to take us through each and every experience in life. Why? Because we need to employ them to help others. Number three, we employ them to help others. When we finally come to a place of realizing that this life has a chazon, has a vision, has a purpose that God intended for us, that this life is not about our own happiness, but by following and pursuing God's call for our life, then our problems become a lot easier to handle. Okay, God, bring it on. What's next? Sure, there's going to be tough things, and there are many things that hit us that I would never wish on anyone. And yes, you've been hurt in life, and there were people who intended to hurt you, and I'm sorry for that. But even in those moments, God can step in and bring something beautiful out of it. We need to learn to put him first, because God wants us to be used to help others. Paul said it like this, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul knew there was a bigger picture. It wasn't just about his own life. And when he's writing this book to the nation of Philippi, he writes this. He writes, "Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He had a bigger picture. He knew that the things going on in his life were not just happening for his own life, but were happening for the sake of the gospel. The gospel was being spread. He wasn't whining and complaining. He was embracing it. And he was saying, you know what? God is working in the midst of it. What was happening when Paul wrote these words? Where was he? He was in prison. That's right. He had recently been captured. He was put on a boat, going through terrible storms, shipwrecked out to sea, left to die on an island, bit by a snake, whipped, beaten, stoned, rocks thrown at him, taken finally to Rome, thrown in the dungeon, chained to a guard 24 hours a day. And you know what he's saying? It's all for good. Can you believe that? So many times we complain about the little things in our lives. Look at what Paul had to deal with. And he says it was all for good. It seeked to advance the gospel. Because of what Paul went through, the gospel was spreading. He himself said that even the palace guard is becoming believers. Could you imagine being that guard chained to Paul's wrist? Okay, you're chained here with me. You're going to learn about Jesus and how much he loves you. You're stuck with me. And he began to share in this guard's life and other guards' life. The gospel began to spread throughout all of Rome. Even those things that were intended for harm were bringing good. And this is what God is about. God is about using the difficult situations in our life, the struggles, the hurtful things, and using them to help us encourage others and for good. Paul says it again like this when he's reminding the Christians at Corinth. In the Living Bible, it says it like this. You'll see the NIV up there. The Living Bible says, and this is in your notes, by the way, "In our trouble, God has comforted us. And this too is to help you, to show you that from our personal experience, how God will tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same kind of sufferings, and He will give you strength to endure. Paul is saying, yes, we've had hardship. We've been oppressed from all sides. It has been for God's good, though. And you know what? It's been for your good. Because there may be sufferings that come your way, and because I've been through it, I will be able to comfort you because I can identify with you. Many times, the people who can help those the most are people who have been through something similar. Who can help a person going through cancer better than someone who's a cancer survivor, right? Who can help someone deal with the loss of a family member than someone who said, I just lost somebody last year? Who can help somebody deal with abuse and hardship in their life than someone who would say, I grew up in a home being abused? Who can help someone better dealing with AIDS than someone who's living and God is giving them life even though they have AIDS? Your most shameful, the thing you most regret in your life, the thing that you wish you could forget forever, may be the greatest source of ministry that God wants to use through you to help others. God has a way of stepping into a mess and making something beautiful. And the things in our past that we often try to run from, that we often try to forget, are the very things that make us who we are and who God wants to use us to be. I want you to see an example of a story of a lady I got to meet a couple months ago who God stepped into her life and a past she was trying to run from and forget. She instead chose to remember, and God said, I want to show you what I can do with that mess that you were in when you surrender your life to me. Take a look at this.
My name is Monica, and I used to be a stripper in the D.C. and Northern Virginia area, and now I'm a follower of Jesus, and I go out and share him with the women that are still working in the clubs. My life was a complete mess. Before I came to know Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't have a relationship, and so I decided to do everything that I thought was good for my life. I went from addictions to alcohol and money. I was involved in selling drugs, using them, not taking care of my children. You name it, I was there. When I was dancing, I was stripping, and I would go and sit in the dressing room between my sets and read my Bible. I was so exhausted, and I knew that's where I needed to go, but I never was ready to completely give my life over and stop trying to run it myself. I thought that quitting would help my life, these material changes, and even still that didn't work, and I had to give everything over. So when I did that, my character changed. My character hadn't changed before. And there was this foundational change that, you know, when the Holy Spirit does something in you, it's very different than making these surface changes. And I started to see that, and it started to affect my family, and my marriage started to get better, and my children were happier, and it was amazing. I went through so much with that lifestyle. I'm familiar enough with it that I can reach back to people who are still there and not be judgmental and understand and be an example of what God can do. And it really shows. I saw one woman recently when I went out to one of the clubs, and she looked at me half drunk, and I wiped the sweat off of her forehead, and she looks up at me and she goes, "You're like not even the same person anymore." And I thought that was so amazing, you know, that God just changed me in such a way that people can see it. And so I just go and I love these women, and it's just beautiful. It's beautiful for me, and I think it's beautiful for them. We've had one baptism already, that was incredible. I can't even describe what happened with that. But it's been beautiful what's been happening.
God never wastes an experience. He never wastes a hurt or a pain. The very thing that you are running from, that you regret, that you wish no one would ever know, God may want to use it to be the most beautiful thing in your life. Let's pray. My hope is that through the series that you will begin to see that you are a beautiful masterpiece, that God is at work in your life and every area of it, working to bring it all together to make something good. And you may be sitting here this morning, and the first thing you need to realize is that Jesus loves you just as you are. That if you were the only person on this earth and you were living a life that was totally the worst of any life you can imagine, Jesus still would have come down to this earth to say, I love you, and to rescue you from whatever it is that you're in. And Jesus is here today. And he's calling out to you and he says, come to me. Believe that I died on a cross for you. I shed my blood to forgive you of your sins. Turn from whatever it is that you're doing and simply fall into my arms. Let me carry you. Let me help you put your life back together. Let me save you. And today may be the day that you call out to him and say, yeah, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Make me new. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to follow you. And you may be sitting here today and you may already have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're now looking forward and you're like, okay, God, I want to follow you. Show me how to follow you. And God is saying, you know what? There are things that happened in your past that I'm ready to put back together, that I'm ready to heal you of, that I'm ready to make a beautiful picture, and I want you to trust me as I show you my intended purpose for you in your life. And my hope is that you would allow God in his own loving way to wrap his arms around you as a father would and to show you the beautiful life that he has for you. And you just need to say, okay, God, come in, take over. And my hope is your heart would be surrendered to that today. So take a moment as our worship team leads us. Pray through these things. If you want someone to pray with, there'll be a few of us up front to pray with you. We're here for you guys. You don't have to go through this alone. And as you are ready to respond, let us remember that all of this is only possible because Jesus did die for us. His body was broken, and we take a piece of bread as we take communion today. We remember his body broken. We dip it in a cup, and we remember his blood shed. He died for us so that we can now live for him. And I invite you to come up and take communion as you feel ready. So pray. If you invited Christ into your life, come let me know. I'd love to pray with you. If you're a Christian and you would say, okay, yeah, there's stuff in my life I need help dealing with, pray with me that God will give me the strength. Come forward. I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Let God lead you. He's got great things in store. God, move in our lives now. Show us our next steps. Meet us in this place. God, you're ready to use us. Thank you for loving us and taking us just as we are. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to worship, to pray, to take communion, and respond as you feel led. We're up here to pray with you. Respond.